Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher, man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a cause that Jesus told.
Hello, America. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Kitchen Politics 123 for September 16th, 2024. Tonight is Part 2, Season 7, Episode 38, Kamala Harris' Accomplishments and Records of Success. And we're going to tell the people who are listening that, you know, what Kamala Harris has done to, you know, be a success as part of the Biden administration as vice president. So as the 2024 election looms, Kamala Harris stands out as a compelling candidate for U.S. presidency, poised to lead with experience, dedication, and vision. Currently serving as vice president, Harris has demonstrated a deep commitment to addressing some of the nation's most pressing issues, including healthcare reform, climate change, and social justice. Her background as California's attorney general and as a U.S. senator underscores her expertise in navigating complex legal and legislative landscapes, driving progressive policy changes, and advocating for marginalized communities. Harris's leadership is marked by a pragmatic approach to governance and a focus on inclusivity and equity. Her candidacy offers a unique opportunity to build on the progress made during her tenure as vice president, leveraging her experience in both domestic and international arenas. By emphasizing collaboration, bipartisanship, and a commitment to justice, Kamala Harris aims to unify a divided nation and tackle challenges with a forward-thinking agenda. As president, she promises to champion transformative policies, strengthen democratic institutions, and engage in strategic diplomacy, reflecting a vision for a more equitable and resilient America. Call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling in from. We love hearing from everyone except MAGA. MAGA trolls who lack critical thinking skills and has no basic human decency. So be polite to the host and or risk being cut off without warning. Thanks for sharing across social media and by word of mouth. Visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. And this is episode 69301. And air date, Sunday, September 15th, or Monday, September 16th, 2024. We're not anti-social, just anti-student. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hey, David. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hi, this is Blue's Mama.
And Blue's Mama is sitting in tonight for Lori Picker, who is not feeling well tonight. So wish her speed recovery and hope that, you know, she feels better soon. And Blue's Mama is from Pennsylvania. Tell us more about the beautiful state of Pennsylvania. You know, you have a governor who is a Democrat, Josh Shapiro. He's doing well. You know, so, you know, what's the mood like in Pennsylvania in terms of the presidential politics?
Well, as far from historically, the county that I live in determines mm-hmm. Pennsylvania and usually determines the election. Like, whatever, mm-hmm. whoever wins this county generally wins the election.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on pins and needles. There's a lot of Trump supporters in Pennsylvania. Hoping there's more reasonable people who understand that this man is trying really hard to create an authoritarian regime for himself so he can do whatever mm-hmm. he wants. He really mm-hmm. has no ability to control himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has absolutely no filter. You know, he just speaks what comes to his mind, and he can't keep complete sentences, you know. Yeah, I don't know how anybody could really support a man like him. I mean, since 2015 till now, he's put America through hell, and the world is watching. And he worships strong men and dictators, and he wants to be one himself. So I don't think America is suited for a dictatorship or authoritarian system. You know, so as the 2024 election looms, do you think Kamala Harris will win a landslide, or do you think it's going to be close like it was in 2020?
I'm not sure at this point. It's very hard to say. I've been spending a lot of time talking to people who are either undecided or who are Trump supporters that are willing to have a reasonable conversation. I've been doing that on TikTok with a group of friends. It's hard to say. I see people from both sides. It's the same arguments in every room. I just try to point out that I don't think either party is really pushing the message that we as people are really all that concerned about. They tell you to be concerned about it on whatever news station you want to watch. But in the long run, if we talk to each other, we could see that we have a lot of the same things that we would like to see happen. Like, I think term limits are a great idea, and so do many of the people that I've spoken with that are Republicans. So there's something we agree on. So why aren't they talking about that? Because that's not in their best interest, all of them, the Democrats and the Republicans alike. It's not in their best interest for term limits. So that's something we really need to push, especially for the Supreme Court, because it's ridiculous to have it stacked one way for life. That's not right. We never did that before. We always had a fairly divided Supreme Court and then a couple that were kind of in the middle. So we need to go back to something like that. We can't push everything towards one side, or you see division like we see in the country right now.
Yes. And I don't think the Supreme Court has ever been so divided along partisan lines. And, you know, Clarence Thomas, as well as Supreme Court Chief Justice, they're very partisan. They try to bring in, you know, religion into it and make their decisions based on religion. And, you know, there is a clear separation of church and state in the Constitution, you know, so, you know, it brings a whole, it opens a whole can of worms, you know, when things like that happen, when you bring your religion into, you know, making laws and deciding on cases, you know, it just, you know, mud the whole waters up. And speaking of term limits, Newt Gingrich back in the mid-1990s, when he came in as a House Speaker, one of the tenets of contract with America, there were 10 points, there was term limits, and every Republican who was elected then, when I had a majority, and Newt Gingrich was Speaker, they voted against that, you know, term limits. You know, so Republicans have a history of talking a good game, but when it comes pedal to the metal, and time to vote on some things that they say they're pushing, the vote against it. You know, the latest example is with the border bill that Jeff Langstrom, the U.S. Senator from Oklahoma. He's from Oklahoma. He and Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois, came together. It was mostly a Republican plan, and we gave the whole farm to Republicans. We couldn't get a better deal than that, you know. And Republicans, because of Trump, said they will vote against it. You know, so it's all, you know, a dog and pony show where, you know, they don't really make sense and they're just talking a good game, but when time to do action, they vote against their own bill. You know, so you can't take Republicans seriously. You know, they're just a whole bag of lunatunes, not serious, and, you know, they put themselves and corporations ahead of people. It should be about we the people, not about wealthy corporations or individuals, you know. So it's just distressing that the American government, you know, it comes to this, really, because the American people deserve better. And so last night, you know, we spoke about how Kamala Harris set a new record for the most tie-breaking Senate votes cast by a vice president in history, because, as you know, Bernie Sanders and Angus King are the independent senators who are caucus with us, but when there's a tie, the vice president breaks that tie. So Kamala Harris broke that ceiling, most tiebreakers in Senate history. Invested $370 billion to combat climate change and expand energy production, expanded child tax credit to cut child poverty in half. Republicans don't really give a damn about poor people, especially children, you know. They use children as a political prop, really. And Kamala Harris, she was involved in providing $450 billion in relief for 6 million small businesses. Republicans claim that the cure for small business, but they really don't. You know, who they do care about is big corporations giving them tax cuts of billions of dollars. In the 4 years Trump was president, he gave a total of $7 trillion in tax cuts to wealthy individuals as well as corporations. So, you know, them giving a hoot about small business is all talk. The fifth point was that Kamala Harris led all attorney generals across the United States in winning a $20 billion settlement for homeowners during the foreclosure crisis. You know, again, Republicans rather deal with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and give them bailouts and leave the homeowners to struggle for themselves. Number six point, took on for-profit colleges that scammed America. And every college now is for-profit, you know. And the curriculum that I teach, like in Texas, for example, I don't know if it's in Pennsylvania, but in Texas, the change of school books in public schools to read, Africans came as guests, you know, and they didn't mention anything about slavery. So, you know, they're trying to change the whole history and whitewash history, which is
That's
very
crazy.
Sad and pathetic. Yes, it is. It is. You know, and Florida falling suit. Most of the red states following suit. And I think it's alarming that so many people who know the history, who has been through, you know, public schooling and college and universities, they know what is happening, but yet still they keep reelecting Republicans. You know, I just don't get their thinking. I don't get their logic. Number seven point, they led the push for the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights, federal workers unionization. As we all know, Republicans are against unions, the union bus, and they're against overtime pay for farm workers. Now, the farm workers come from all over the world, Central America, Latin America, the Caribbean, to pick fruit like oranges, apples, you know, work fields. And it's jobs that Americans don't want. So would you rather have, you know, immigrants who come here legally to work the fields, to put food on the table for America, or do you rather, you know, just mildew and rot in the field because no American wants to do it? So when people say, oh, you know, they're taking good American jobs, are you willing as an American who support Trump and MAGA to go out there in the field and toil in the sun and can't even get a water break? That's ridiculous. Yes, so introduce a student loan forgiveness program for mentally health professionals. You know, Republicans, again, don't care about, you know, anybody who is making a certain amount of money. You know, during COVID, the PPV mask and what have you, Trump didn't give a damn if mental health professionals and health professionals in general were protected from COVID. Kamala Harris won settlements from companies that underpaid workers and violated labor laws, as we all know, in Indiana and Arkansas and other places in the South. You know, they use underage kids under 18 years old who should be in school learning, and use them, pay them peanuts below $7.25 the minimum wage. And, you know, a lot of kids have been either killed or, you know, badly maimed, you know, working in slaughterhouses across the country. You know, the next point is that you know, that took a big corporations and took advantage of working people, that took on big corporations, that took on advantage of working people. So Republicans, again, turned a blind eye, not giving a goddamn about workers. They kept the cost of insulin to $35 a month for seniors. Republicans in the hands of big pharma didn't care about the elderly. They just want the big pharmaceutical companies to have big profits. So in return, because of the laws they vote into, because they're being the majority, you know, they the big pharma corporations give Republicans money back. You know, so it's a tit for tat, really, not, you know, really caring about the working family nor elderly. You know, so, you know, Kamala Harris sponsored and Democrats sponsored legislation to expand and strengthen Social Security. As we know, Rick Scott in Florida, he is trying very hard to sunset the Social Security program, calling it an entitlement. And we all know that, you know, people work all their lives, and when they turn 65 years and older, it's time to cash in, because out of their taxes, they put money in it, so they deserve it. So why is it that they're calling it entitlement? You know, what do you think about Social Security?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that they call it an entitlement, since we've been paying into it our entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at your Social Security statement, you can see how much you paid into it, and as much as you paid into it, your company that you worked for paid into it as well.
Exactly.
So to call that an entitlement when we have been paying into that for our entire lives is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if anything, they should give us the money that's in there that we paid in, that, you know, and just give us one lump sum and let us figure out what to do with it if they want to get rid of it.
Yes, exactly.
They can't just get rid of it. They need to give us back what we put in. And what the companies put in towards our retirement, because that's what it's there for.
Exactly. Point 15.
I did want to touch on one thing that you mentioned.
Yes, yes.
You mentioned you don't understand how they can be the way they are. And I did want to touch on something that I've noticed just from talking to Trump supporters. I believe that the news sources that they watch and the things that they look up online are going to be different than the things that we see. If you watch the movie Social Dilemma, it kind of goes over it. There's a lot of people that actually worked at some of these big tech companies, and it's kind of terrifying how much information they have on us. They basically push out what you look at. So more of what you look at. So if you believe in flat earth or if you believe in conspiracy theories, you're going to get all of the stuff that Donald Trump puts out. If you're more the type that researches things and doesn't just believe everything you see on TV or you hear on Facebook or TikTok, then you're actually going to go out and you're going to find the government resource site and the different places where you can find the actual information. And then you can actually take that information and make a more informed decision, which a lot of the Trump supporters that I've spoken to just kind of refuse to do. And then they end up voting in their own, like, against their own best interests.
I don't know. I guess it would take them losing Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare for them to wake up. But by the time they wake up, it will be too late. I'm glad that certain people get it. What Trump is trying to do, what corporations are trying to do, they're trying to turn America into an oligarchical society, ruled by a dictator. And it's refreshing that when I saw videos, recent videos of the Midas Touch Network and other sources, you know, it showed, you know, diehard Trumpers from 2016 and 2020 burning the Trump paraphernalia, because they finally get it, that Republicans don't really care. Don't give a hoot about the elderly, about the middle class, about working people, you know, and they never have, you know. They always have this good spin machine, a well-oiled spin machine that, you know, they tell the people what they want to hear. But once they get elected, it's a totally different story. It's all about corporate greed and giving tax cuts to corporations. And, you know, it's just frightening, the level of, you know, I don't call it stupidity, but willful ignorance of people who continue to vote Republican. You know, it's frightening. It's mind-numbing. And when you're trying to reason with these MAGA people, it's like, you know, talking to a brick wall, basically. You get more success speaking to a brick wall than, you know, talking to a Trump supporter and trying to reason with them. You know, so.
Well, I think there's also, there's Trump supporters who actually like him. They like the way he acts. They love when he puts people down. And then there's actual Republicans who just have their conservative financial reasons and, like, other reasons. And those people are the ones that they may still vote for him in the end, but you can have a conversation with them and actually, like, talk about things that, you know, you may disagree on the way to resolve them, but you can find common ground in the issues that we all see facing us day to day. And I think we end up, when we lump them all together like that, we kind of turn off some voters that may possibly be open to hearing about the facts.
Well, you really can't blame us as Democrats and as progressives because, you know, my experiences in talking with MAGA people is that it always turns into a shouting match. And the door is like, it's supposed to be a give and take conversation where it's like, okay, I agree with Trump, you know, because of this. I disagree with Democrats because of this. And we're talking about, like, rational grown-ups. But
MAGA people you can't do that with. Like, the true MAGA, you can't do that with them. But the ones that, like I said, are they're Republican and they're not really voting for Trump because they like him. They actually think he's a jerk, like, the three people that I had in our live the other day, they were all Trump supporters, but they were all reasonable and polite and, you know, they would actually look up information. So they weren't your typical MAGA. So I kind of had hope that maybe at some point I might be able to change their minds, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
At the very least, maybe they won't vote. You know?
Yeah, and not voting is helping Trump again because we need all the votes we can get as Democrats, you know, up and down the ticket, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's a federal election for U.S. Senate or governor or congressperson. You know, the local level is really important as well because, as Bill Clinton said in 1988, all politics is local. And when you have school board members who are drifting off saying, oh, we should teach the Bible and Christianity in schools, have prayer in schools, public schools, you know, what if the person is not Christian? What if they're atheists or Buddhists or Muslim? You know, they don't count. We shouldn't have, you know, their types of prayer or no prayer at all, you know?
We can't exclude people, and we need to stop othering people. When we put people in the other box, that's when they can control us. They basically pit us against each other, and they tell us we need to hate these people or we need to be so angry at these people for this reason or that reason. But we need to stop allowing them on both sides to other us and start saying, look, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat or I'm an independent or I'm a, like, anarchist or whatever you are. You need to be able to be that and not have this preconceived notion of what the other is. And you don't even have to have a name for whatever it is you choose to be. Just vote your conscience, learn about the issues, educate yourself, and do the right thing for your family. I mean, if anybody out there that's listening that supports Trump, you're basically supporting the fact that he has made medical procedures harder to get for women. And I'm not even talking about the abortion issue. I'm talking about women who are having a problem with their pregnancy and are being left to basically deal with it on their own because the doctors are so afraid to help them. And these laws that they enacted will take away their medical license and in Texas put the doctor in jail for life. I mean, if I was a doctor, I would err on the side of caution and not help somebody, because I don't want to spend my life in jail. So what's going to happen is these doctors are going to leave those red states that are doing that, and the women are going to suffer. And if you have women and you live in one of those states, you know, women in your life that you care about, this isn't just abortion that's affecting them. They are literally, like, what they could do is they can have somebody, a neighbor, report you. So if you have a miscarriage, a personal miscarriage, which is a tragic, horrible experience. I've had one, and it was absolutely awful. So you're depressed. You're miserable. You had a baby that you really wanted, and you lost it. Now your neighbor sees that you were pregnant and that you're not pregnant anymore. So they decide they're going to report you to, you know, for having an abortion because maybe they don't like you for some reason.
Now
you have to prove that you didn't have an abortion. So, I mean, so that, for any other reason, like if they're taking away my rights or your daughter's rights or your sister's rights, eventually they can come after yours. And as soon as we start letting them take away those rights that are ours and relate to our own bodies, we are setting ourselves up to be controlled completely by the government.
Yes, yes. And isn't it interesting that, you know, the government, mostly the decisions that are made by men, you know? So why the hell should a woman listen to a man in how her what she should do with her body? You know, why not get a vasectomy if that's the case?
Well, if you don't exactly, want children, and that's the whole Make America Great Again BS. They want to go back to the 50s when women couldn't even have a goddamn checking account. They didn't even have the they didn't even have the ability to have checking accounts until the 70s. So like, I mean, I'm sorry, we don't want to go back. We liked having our, I mean, we settled for Roe v. Wade, which still limited our rights at some point. Like, we still had to involve the government in our medical decisions at certain points during the pregnancy, which could result in problems. Like, if you have to wait for some committee to decide whether or not to do something and the woman ends up dying, you know, that's not right. There's no government official that should ever have a decision that could potentially create an outcome of a woman dying or a man dying or anybody dying because they want to do something that controls their ability to make a medical decision. And it's not just abortions. It is medical decisions. The word abortion actually covers multiple things. Miscarriages are abortions. There's also ectopic pregnancies, which to remove one of those, they can't be viable. They're not able to be, you know, carried to term. And, like, that would be considered an abortion. If somebody has a miscarriage and they need their uterus cleaned out afterwards, it's a procedure called a DNC. And sometimes people need a DNC for other reasons, you know, just simple medical reasons. But now they want to have our records, all women's records, sent to the government so they can decide whether or not to punish us. And we have to prove whether it was medical or something else. And that is absolutely fascist bullshit.
Exactly. We're going to take some calls soon. Oh, no, understandable. You know, we're going to take some calls soon. 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling in from. You know, Kamala Harris, when she was a U.S. senator, she voted against Trump's cuts to budget cuts to Medicaid and Medicare. She announced administration plans to remove medical debt from credit reports. She sued drug companies for unlawful drug pricing and marketing tactics. She shut down scam healthcare websites. She stood up for reproduction rights during Trump's Supreme Court confirmation hearing. She made Brett Kavanaugh cry, for example. And that's one of the main reasons why Donald Trump hates her. You know, Brett Kavanaugh literally cried on you know, giving testimony. So launched a national reproduction rights tour, becoming the first vice president in history to visit reproductive rights health clinics across the country. She strengthened global alliances by meeting with more than 150 world leaders. So the argument can be made that she has foreign policy experience and diplomatic policy experience, you know, because, you know, I'm sure that she could call five world leaders' names. Trump couldn't, you know, because Trump is all for himself and in himself and conceited and arrogant and narcissist. And hell, he shoves them out of the way. You know, when we had that G7 summit and met with the European Union, you know, Trump was there. I don't know, I don't remember which world leader it was, but he sort of grabbed the man and, like, you know, hauled him back because Trump wanted to be front and center. Yeah, I think he was the Prime Minister of Netherlands. I can't remember his name now. You know, but, you know, just, you know, grabbed him and shoved him out of the way. You know, that's not being presidential. You know, so we're going to talk about, you know, what Kamala Harris. Those are things that we spoke about last night. And the next thing is announcing the administration's plan to remove medical debt from credit reports, which is a good thing. It helps a lot of people build the credit score back up. But we'll have some callers waiting, and one just hung up. So we're going to take this call from Flint, Michigan. Hello, Doris. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Yeah, I was in my car coming back from an indivisible meeting. So I crossed the part, and I agree with the lady talking, so many things that I can relate to. And one of the things I just, a few points that when she was talking about, the group was talking about, what do you call it, entitlement. Now, generally, it seems like the word entitlement is used as something like giving somebody who isn't worthy of it or something that doesn't belong to them because they're poor or whatever, that it's sort of a put-down. Yeah, these entitlements. But if you know the meaning of that word, they are entitled to what they put into it. So it's really, in a way, you're entitled to the money you put in. That's why you should get your Social Security. But it's used in a different way, in a negative way. And definitely that can relate to the issues which she's mentioned about miscarriage. I did have one and that I didn't want. But I also had, when I had my only child, I had a retained placenta. I mean, the whole placenta didn't come out, so there was still artery in there with bleeding. It's possible that if the child was, you know, still in there somehow, that you'd have to get that out because you could die rather than let you bleed to death. And also, when she mentioned the pregnancies in the tubes, you could definitely die if they don't do something about that. And so I agreed with a lot of things I was hearing there.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
I'm entitled to Social Security because I work for it, and anyone else is
exactly.
entitled. But it's not used in that meaning. It's used in a put-down kind of way.
So what do you think about, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, leading the fight, and she sued drug companies for unlawful drug pricing and marketing tactics? I know Big Pharma is a big thing up on Capitol Hill with lobbyist group and everything. And you being a doctor, you know, what's your take on, you know, the power of Big Pharma?
Well, that is one of the big, the biggest lobbyists, that, you know, to people. They're corrupt. They say they're corrupted, but they allow themselves to be corrupted by taking money and then voting for it. And I think that's the whole problem. And I don't know how soon we could get to the point of actually getting the big money out of politics, which was allowed to come in at full force, I think, in 2010 with the Supreme Court, the way the situation is right now. And in the other countries, most of us know in other countries, they don't have this problem because developed countries, because they have health care, and that's part of what their taxes pay for. And it's just like we have roads. You don't have to pay for a road unless you use it or whatever. The roads are there for everybody. And in these other ones, they're much more caring about people because they all have access to health care, and therefore they're healthier. They don't die as easily. They live longer, and they don't have the complications for not seeking help when they should have gotten it. So we're kind of unique to being kind of a greed fest in terms of so many of the problems we have is dealing with corporations and profit beyond anything else. Profit beyond, you know, what you'd ever need. And I'm glad that we did change this, the insulin for seniors, but that's only one group of people. It should be all of it for everybody all the time. People say, and this is what I hear when I talk about it, they'll say, well, you have to pay more taxes. And my question to them is, yes, but what do you get for those taxes you pay? Versus in the United States, people going bankrupt right and left because of health care costs. And they don't think of it that way. If you pay more, if you get something for your taxes, you're really getting something, and they don't seem to see that compared to the cost of when you don't have health care that you end up paying out and or maybe going bankrupt. No, that's a big issue for me. That's a big issue for me.
Yes. So Blues Mama in Pennsylvania. So do you remember a couple years back when Donald Trump was president? I think it was his second year. And Rand Paul, U.S. Senator from Kentucky, and a couple of Congress people went to Russia on Independence Day and, you know, celebrated Independence Day in Russia. And, you know, people up to this day is wondering why these Republicans went to Russia. Was it to pay homage to Vladimir Putin, you know? And it was Trump himself who earlier this year was saying that, hey, if Russia want to invade Poland or whichever other country, then, you know, have at it. You know, that's not being a president of the United States. That's not being presidential. You know, why the hell does Donald Trump think that Russia can do anything they desire? Vladimir Putin is a strong man. We're not
I can answer that. If you watch, there's an interview with a guy named Yuri Bezmenov. B-E-Z-M-E-N-O-V. Y-U-R-I-B-E-Z-M-E-N-O-V. This was years ago he gave this interview. Watch it. That's all I have to say. He tells us exactly what they're going to do in Russia, and they have accomplished it. They've accomplished it.
Yeah.
And he tells you what they'll do with us, who they consider the useful idiots.
Yep.
The ones who will dissent and argue against what they've done when they finally finish what they're doing.
Yes, and remember, it was Kamala Harris when she was a U.S. senator. She kept Americans safe while working on a Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The House version of that committee, Nunes, I can't remember what Nunes, he was a congressman from California. Everything that was reported or, you know, the happening-ons in that committee, he went straight back to Russian assets to say, hey, this is what we're planning, that. And that meeting that Trump had with two Russian diplomats where there was no translators nor there was anybody present, just Trump and these two Russian men. And those two Russian men were suspected of being spies. You know, so why does things happen like that where, you know, Trump can just get away, do anything, say anything, get away with it, and there's no repercussions and there's no, you know, consequences for his actions, you know? It's obvious that
I'm pretty sure Trump got some money from Putin through Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
So I think that that's why those things happen. And I would assume that if we followed the money, all of those other guys that went over there, probably the same thing.
Yeah, it's all about the money for Trump. And he says, oh, he has nothing to do financially with Russia. But his two sons came out saying, hey, everything, all the money coming in is from Russian banks and from Russian oligarchs. So Trump is saying one thing, his idiot sons saying another thing. You know, so which one is it? The can't get the lies straight. You know, it's fascinating yet frightening. 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling in from. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking? Florida, you're online.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry, I didn't hear Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm just listening to everybody tonight. right now, and I was just I was watching MSNBC earlier, and I had to shut it off because you can't escape the orange bastard. Ever since yesterday, and nothing even happened.
Yeah, he's like syphilis. He can never shake syphilis. He keeps that forever. You know?
It's like a bad penny.
He's like syphilis. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, I know I didn't give my name, but I'm Kathy, by the way.
Oh, Kathy Carlin from Florida. Yes, and Elaine Ireland in Michigan, she posted an interesting post. It was about Electoral College. And this guy, Kevin Schwab, he tweeted, during slavery, the North had more voters than the South. The South didn't want slaves to vote, but wanted to count them in their population total towards the number of electors. The Electoral College was their solution. It's past time to get rid of it. One person, one vote. So, Bruce Mama, what do you think about the Electoral College? Should we get rid of that and have one person, one vote?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, there should be an IQ test or at least some political knowledge that you have to have before you can vote. I mean, I hate to say it, but some people, they vote against their best interests and they harm the rest of the country when they do it. And they don't understand enough to even know that they're doing that, which is really sad.
Yes, so Catherine in Florida, our guest co-host tonight is actually from Pennsylvania and everything, you know. So, you know, Catherine from Florida is originally from Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is also part in the Electoral College and everything. So you two ladies, do you think that Pennsylvania will go Democratic this election cycle?
I sure hope so.
I hope so as well.
I mean, we were pretty much, for years, we were pretty steady, like, Democrat, but there was a couple of times recently where we had some issues.
You just got to worry about up the middle of the state, because he ain't never going to win in Pittsburgh, and he's never going to win in Philly. It's
Philly? Oh, no, he was. Oh, wait,
that's
wait.
Where my
no.
family is from, is Central Pennsylvania.
I thought you
grew up in Altoona.
Yeah, he like here in the Lehigh Valley, it's kind of a mix. So like, it's hard to say what's going to happen. It's like on pins and needles at this point. I just want that man to go away. And by the time 4 years rolls around, he's going to be way too old to be relevant for anything. How many times can you run? Can you run as many times as you want?
This is the third time. The third time he tried before, failed. The second attempt, he was successful, and of course, Russia had a big role in that. Russian interference. I don't care what anybody say. Russia and China interfered in our elections in 2016. The misinformation that was out on social media, it was so atrocious and disgusting. The vilified Hillary
Clinton. It's not like it was even hidden. They took Facebook to court over it, or to. To Congress or somewhere, they sold ads to Russian bots.
Yes.
So it's absolutely. And do you know who they pushed them out to? People that believe in flat Earth. That's the demographic that they selected. Watch Social Dilemma. It's pretty freaking eye-opening.
And so the guy who is allegedly to be, you know, he was an assassin wannabe. His name is Ryan Wesley Roth. He tried to, quote-unquote, assassinate Donald Trump. He's a gun nutter. He pushes COVID conspiracies and despises having to vote for Trump. He was a Nikki Haley supporter and never a Trumper. So, you know, he did vote for Trump for president.
Oh, he was a Nikki Haley supporter?
Yeah, he was.
So he wasn't a Democrat?
No, he wasn't. No, a Republican.
Oh, there you go. See, even Republicans are trying to get rid of that guy.
But
nobody likes him.
Yeah,
and he can't stand
is,
it. He has to be relevant. He's a narcissist. It's just like they can't deal with not being relevant.
But, But the thing is, Blues Mama, is that no Trump today, early today, on his Truth Social, try to flip the script saying that, you know, people are out to get him and shoot him because of their rhetoric. What rhetoric? All the rhetoric coming from is him, the violent rhetoric. You know?
I know. It's ridiculous. But they believe it. They really do. Like, the guys that I was talking to on that on TikTok, they were actually, they were telling me that part of why they are so, like, sticking to him so much is they feel like he was ganged up on and stuff because he's said it so many times. Like, instead of saying, you know, he did things that were bad and he's paying the price like anybody else would, they really believe that they went after him like a political agenda. And, you know, I mean, it is true. People hated him and didn't want him in there from the day he was elected. So, like, they feel like that's a reason, I think, to support him.
Right.
Which makes some sense to me, but
And
apparently in their brains it did make some sense.
And Doris in Flint, do you think it's preposterous that, you know, he went on social, Truth Social, saying, I hate Taylor Swift? Wasn't it he was the one who was making artificial intelligence video using Taylor Swift to make it seem like he was endorsed by Taylor Swift? And now he's quoting that he hates Taylor Swift. I mean,
he's a loser. He's a narcissist. Like, if you do any research on narcissists, like, everything he does makes complete sense because they have to do that. They cannot be irrelevant. They have to feel like they're the best and they're the brightest and they're the this and they're the that, even though it's obvious that they're not. Like, it's clear that they're not, but they get their flying monkeys around them. And the flying monkeys that they have around them will say and do whatever they want. They believe them 100%. And it's just disgusting. Like, if you, it's hard to believe if you have not been around a narcissist or dealt with that stuff. Like, I never would have thought that that was a thing until it happened to me. And then it was like, your whole perception of reality gets twisted because they lie and they manipulate and they say, well, it's just you, you're too sensitive or this or that. And the people that love Trump are the people that love to belittle people. Like, there's, like I said, there's the ones that love him and that's the type of person they are. And then there's the ones that just are there because they are going with his policy and they really believe that his policy will be better.
Well, do you think in that narcissism there's some sort of racism in there and sexism?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy took out, he spent $85,000 to try to get life, or to try to get these five African American children, or teenagers, killed.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to bring the death penalty back to New York to kill those kids. And then when he found out that DNA evidence proved it wasn't them, he never walked it back or said he was sorry or anything. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
he
still thinks that they should get the death penalty. That's how out of touch and a narcissistic freak Donald Trump is. You know?
It's crazy. It's just so crazy. It baffles me.
Frankly.
Like, it really does. But once
so
I watched that Social Dilemma,
I
kind of understood why that was happening. I was like, okay, so they're not seeing what I see. That's why they don't believe it. So you have to tell them exactly where to find the information. And then when they actually find the information from the government websites that actually, you know, are the ones where you get the statistics, they can't say anything. They see it in black and white, and they're like, oh, okay, well, let me go to the next pivoting point. And they pivot somewhere else.
but even when it's to those statistics, that is nonpartisan. It's a government agency. Oh, no, the government is lying to me. You know? It's like a no-win situation.
So where are you getting your numbers, dude? Like, the government is the ones that are doing these things. So who else is going to have the correct numbers?
You know, there's people that aren't loyalists that just work there. Mm-hmm. It's just their job to do the things that they're supposed to do, like count things and, you know, whatever it happens to be. But they're not there as political appointees like Trump wants to do, which is crazy.
Right.
He wants to basically replace most of the government with people that will say yes to whatever he wants. And
exactly.
yes men are the ones that created Adolf freaking Hitler. Yes men created Hitler.
Exactly.
So they did everything he asked them to do, the disgusting, horrible things that he asked them to do, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And these
yes.
people are going to end up having to decide, is that the kind of person do you want to see your neighbors like taken and put in some kind of freaking camp because they didn't agree with President Donald Trump? I thought you liked free speech. I thought you believed in your freedom. I thought that was why you wanted less government. But no, you are actually enabling them to take over.
Exactly. And the next thing that Kamala Harris oversaw as vice president, they had a very first ever White House office on gun violence prevention, because school shooting after school shooting and mass shooting after mass shooting, you know, there was no action done in terms of background checks, red flag laws, you know, close those loopholes. You know, we'll see it happen all over the country. It's like a daily occurrence, almost a daily occurrence, where there's another mass shooting. Republicans, because they're in the pockets of the NRA and get tons of money from the NRA, refuse to do any legislation in curbing gun violence. You know, and Democrats have been poor.
I would almost guarantee that the other side doesn't really want to touch the gun laws either. At least not much. I think restrictions and testing, and like, I mean, basically, we already have laws in place if you want to own a Tommy gun. You can literally, if you have an FFL, a federal firearms license, you can buy a Tommy gun. So make it more along those lines. Those people have to go through special things, pay more money or whatever to get their federal firearms license. And if you've done all those things, then we know what you have. So, okay, you know what I mean? Then at that point, you can have that. But not some teenager who's going through fucking puberty or whatever, being picked on at school. All of these kids, pretty much, every single one of these kids that has done this has been bullied. And it's sad that that's what happened. To them. They don't know what to do, and they turn to violence.
Yeah.
Or video
yeah.
games, which are violent, and then they actually go out and commit violence. And, you know, it's probably like, well, they finally want you to see what, you know, what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, and they shouldn't happen, but we could do something way before it gets to that point. We could offer more counseling in schools. There's like one counselor to like 100 kids probably in every school, maybe even more than that, more kids. So like there's things that we could do. We just never look at the right things.
And next thing we can look at is that if the parents weren't such morons, like, you know, the guy, the 14-year-old kid in Georgia who did the school shooting and 9 people were injured, I think, and 4 dead, you know, he had a reputation online for threatening people, and he was on probation. As soon as he got off probation, his father bought him an AR-15 assault rifle, you know, and he did what he did. You know, I mean, there's absolutely no excuse. If he had gun insurance liability, I'm positive.
I mean, the father
should
be found guilty. Whatever the son is found guilty of, the father should be just as responsible in that instance, because he absolutely... The FBI visited them. The FBI visited them, and he bought him the gun after that.
Yeah.
When the FBI comes and knocks on your door about your kid, you don't go buy him a goddamn semi-automatic weapon.
Right.
Are you crazy? Like, that's not
exactly.
That's not the way to handle this.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, yes. So, you know, for the first time in 40 years, the White House actually did something about curbing or closing the loopholes for gun safety. It stopped near 30,000 firearm sales to convicted domestic abusers. J.D. Vance, who's running for vice president, Trump's running mate, you know, he doesn't want women to get divorced or separated from spouses who's been abusive physically.
J.D.
You know,
Vance
that's
is a fucking jackass.
For...
He
is
so ignorant. He is so fucking ignorant, man. Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
he was in Ohio.
That makes me mad.
He was in Ohio recently, and when Dana Bash interviewed him, he said that, you know, he'll continue making up stories to get headlines, not giving, you know, consideration to the immigrants, the Haitian immigrants and the Venezuelan immigrants.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He said he created the story.
Mm-hmm.
They
weren't
listening, so he created the story.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Laura Luma who's traveling with Trump. You know, she was the one who started this move about, you know, yeah, people eating pets and dogs and cats and everything. And people's lives are being in jeopardy because of J.D. Vance and her. It's not the American thing to do. You know, these people come here to work legally. You know, so why don't Americans in, you know, Springfield, Ohio, who support Trump, do what these immigrants are trying to do? They're just trying to make a better life for themselves and their families, but yet still, we'll have these MAGA idiots running around, you know, touting all sorts of conspiracy theories and putting these people's lives in danger. The madness should stop. And I hope it stops after November 5th, because it is going on too much, too long, and America's better than this.
Yeah, I agree. We should be better than this. We've always been better than this until Trump came along.
Yeah.
One thing he showed me is that the America I grew up in could be gone because of one person. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's
always been some division in politics, but it's never been like this. Basically, we just have to get them to start focusing on the issues that are important to us on both sides of the aisle and stop their bullshit. Because this, you know, causing people to go and, like, drive around that Springfield, Illinois, like, maniacs, terrorizing the citizens who actually live there and didn't ask for any of this stuff. It was one lady who regrets what she did. One lady who just put up a post that just said something, you know, offhand. And it was like third or fourth hand information that she was going off of. And next thing you know, the entire country is out to, like, go save all the pets there. I mean, come on. How stupid are we?
Right.
Like, serious.
And that's the fear of Elaine. You know, that's the fear of Elaine, who's a frequent caller and contributor to the show, and Lori, who's co-host. You know, they're saying that, yeah, we should laugh this off, but so many people out there believe this crap, and they vote.
Yeah, it's
no
not
matter what
funny.
Election, they vote. It's frightening. You know?
I mean, yeah, I make jokes about it and stuff online, but it really is not funny at all. Like, it's terrifying that these people are so easily swayed and manipulated and dangerous. We've seen how dangerous these people are. Somehow, that's been wiped from these people's minds. They do not remember January 6th. They do not remember when our nation's capital was attacked to prevent the free and fair election process from taking place. Like, come on, man. How much has to happen before you say, oh, shit, I think I'm voting for the wrong guy?
Yeah, yeah. And when Dick Cheney, a right-winger like Dick Cheney, endorsed Kamala Harris, a progressive Democrat,
Dick Cheney,
you know something
for God's
wrong.
Sake.
Uh-huh. And when Marjorie Taylor Greene
and
is the
Republican
voice of the Republican Party. When
he is as Republican as they come. He made so much money when he was in office with Halliburton.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when the voice of reason is Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert talking against this Laura Loomer, who's a nut job, a conspiracy theorist, then you know things are wrong because, you know, the moral compass in Marjorie Taylor Greene was non-existent. And, you know, for her to say that this woman is racist, which we all know, you know, and then Laura Loomer hit back saying through tweets that, hey, don't let me call you out because I may have video of a staffer filming you saying the N-word. So now there's this big civil war in the Republican Party, which is good. You know, me as a Democrat enjoy that tremendously, the fighting against each other and
yeah,
making things worse for them.
And fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we got here. The Tea Party started all this shit with the infighting,
mm-hmm.
and then the other side, the rest of the Republicans finally just gave up so that they could get some of their shit done and went,
mm-hmm.
like, far right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it used to
really be that you really couldn't tell that much between the Democrats and the centrist Republicans. I mean, the centrist Democrats and the Republicans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I still see Joe Biden as a centrist Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
think he's left at all. And they're calling him a socialist. It's like, are you people nuts? Like, I
mm-hmm.
actually support socialist programs. So,
mm-hmm.
like, I think there's a lot more we could be doing as a country. And
mm-hmm.
I'm for socialist programs. Now, I'm not a
mm-hmm.
complete socialist, but,
mm-hmm.
well, if you go by the website I side with, apparently
mm-hmm.
I am. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think I am.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
if you go to iSideWith.com, you can take
uh-huh.
a little quiz, and it'll tell you, mm-hmm. based on your answers, like, who you side with, whose platform actually aligns with your values and your answers to those questions.
Yeah.
And I've seen where people go on there and they're like progressive and they're like Trumpers. It's like, you're not,
mm-hmm.
this isn't for you, dude. It's not
mm-hmm.
your
mm-hmm.
platform, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you ask a MAGA Republican, what is socialism? They can't answer you. They say, oh, well, it's, you know, communism, blah, blah, blah. Communism and socialism are two different things.
Yep. Two different animals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
so
like a kangaroo and a wallaby. They're not the same thing. They may both be similar, but they're not
mm-hmm.
the same. They're two different animals.
Exactly. Exactly. So when Kamala Harris was a U.S. senator, she led the fight to pass red flag laws, and Republicans fought her tooth and nail, you know, not to have red flag laws. I was knowing now today that most southern states are anti-red flag laws. You can go into a gun show, gun exhibit, and just buy a gun. Just give them cash, you get the gun. No background check. No, you know, so... You know, Kamala Harris was trying to change all that as a U.S. senator. Democrats have been trying to, you know, pass red flag laws to no success. But hopefully, if and when we win the House and retain the Senate, then, you know, good laws can be passed. And speaking of retaining the Senate, do you think John Tester in Montana and Sherrod Brown in Ohio will retain their seats, or do you think... Moreno in Ohio to beat Sherrod Brown and the next nut job, who's Trump Jr. basically, going to take away a seat from John Tester.
I hope reason wins in those states. That's all I can say. I hope
mm-hmm.
common sense and reason and
mm-hmm.
thinking about everybody's future wins out
mm-hmm.
and that we
mm-hmm.
end up winning those states, because honestly, I really do think that Trump has taken a playbook right from Hitler with the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
yeah.
how Hitler did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
he really is. Like, if there's another movie, if you watch, it's basically
mm-hmm.
A bunch of mental health people have
mm-hmm.
come out and said, like, absolutely, just by what he does in public, we
mm-hmm.
can see that this man is a narcissist. And then they go
yeah.
over, like, what the dangers are of somebody like that being in power. And
mm-hmm.
it's really eye-opening when you realize
mm-hmm.
how much is at stake here.
Yeah, yeah. And what Kamala Harris did was vote to confirm more people of color to make the judiciary, look more like America. Okay? America knows an ethnic salad where you have black, brown, Jewish, Asian, you know, different types of people from all parts of the world coming in. You have intermarriages, interrelationships, the children come out biracial. And so according to the labor statistics, by 2040, 2045, we're going to have a majority-minority country. I think that's what Republicans, especially Trump and MAGA people, the cultists, think that their time is coming to an end where there won't be the majority anymore. So they're pushing back hard to retain the status quo. So people like me, who is black, and, you know, Jose from Mexico, you know, will have a say in how America runs. You know, it's like an apartheid system where we're going to be the minority, but we still want to rule the roost. And everything we say goes, and you have to just know your role, shut your mouth, and know your place. And that's what the Republican Party is today, you know?
And that's not the mindset of most of the people my age. They don't like to be controlled. No. Gen Xers are very...
And especially millennials and Generation
right.
Xers. Yeah, millennials and Generation Z, the Gen Zs, you know, nobody can control them. You know, who the hell you think you are? You know, you can't tell me what to read and how to control my body as a woman. You know,
yeah.
That's a no-no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know I raised my kids to say no to stuff like that.
Yes, man. So, Doris, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. Very interesting.
Oh, yes, man. You can jump in anytime you want, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a really good discussion tonight. But I think that's a new person. I don't know. But I've been appreciated what she's been saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blue's mama from Pennsylvania. She has a TikTok account. Over 2,000 people follow her and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's a singer, a very good singer. She's on YouTube as well. And we've been friends for years on Facebook, you know. So she's good person, a good Democrat, a good American. And, you know, she even ran for political office once in Pennsylvania and won, you know. So.
Actually twice. I'm serving my second term.
Second term. There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, so another thing is that... Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wondered how that feels in Pennsylvania. I mean, how the atmosphere is for her.
Well, I'm kind of a recluse. Not that much. When I do, I don't see as many of those Trump signs, but apparently they've grown in size, and now they're like, I don't know, 4 feet high and like 6 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what is that?
That's a crucial state. A crucial state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was telling David earlier, usually the county that I live in, whatever we vote is usually how the state comes out, and usually how the state comes out is who wins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any feel for
so we'll
where
see.
It is? Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's an exciting time,
so,
and it's a scary time.
Yeah, it is.
I hear those people go back to being normal and not, like, I literally, when I was at work, when I was working at this hospital, the one guy was telling me that his friend asked him if he would be a reference for him to get a gun. He was trying to get a license to carry concealed. And the guy asked him why he wanted a gun. And he said to kill Democrats.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, this is some shit that I've never seen in my life, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't agree with some people, but I'm not trying to go get a concealed carry license to go off them or anything. I mean, come on, man.
Well, was he joking when he said he wanted to kill Democrats?
No.
Just, you know, oh,
no,
wow.
he was like 100%, like the guy didn't give him the reference.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious he thought he was.
Yeah.
He didn't give him a reference. He was just like, yeah, no. Not doing that.
Yes, yes. So Kamala Harris also officiated some of the first same-sex marriages. What you ladies, everybody online, I want to comment. What do you think about same-sex marriages?
I think it's none of anybody's business what anybody wants to do.
Why would they care? I mean, what does it do to them?
What is these white old men's obsession with getting involved in who people have sex with and punishing women for having sex and having an asshole man who doesn't want to raise a baby with her, you know, and judging her? Like, what is their obsession with judging people and trying to make everybody conform to what they want? Christianity doesn't belong in politics. It's never belonged in politics. And it says it, that our founding fathers didn't want it in politics. I mean, for God's sake.
That's one of the reasons country formed. They didn't want to be under a king or under a religion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, we started this country by saying, no, fuck you. We're not doing what you want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I'm still with those guys. I mean, some of them may have been dicks, but I'm still along the lines of, this country is for the people, of the people, by the people. It's not behaving that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop that.
You know, the thing about, same-sex marriage, some people that, you know, they try to say my children, it's not their children, they have a problem. They're uncomfortable, and therefore they want to blot it out. And the idea of what, it's almost like I don't want to breathe the same air that they are. That only means that they shouldn't be here, basically. And they feel, I know a person that I know in terms of trans people. He says, he's got a way to go, and he's not on the far, 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 you can't deal with him. But he'll say, but they keep shoving it down my throat. The whole thing is, well, not really. It's just he didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Having to hear
it. Let people be who they want to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what
and
do you
And there's only one side that's trying to control people.
Uh-huh.
The side that wants less government but wants to control people. Like,
right.
Explain that. Tell me how that makes sense. Make sense. Small government. I want my freedoms. I want my liberty, but I want to take it away from other people so that my view can be the view of the land.
So, Kathy, what's your take on same-sex marriages and same-sex couples?
What's that again, David?
Oh, I'm saying, what's your thoughts on same-sex marriages and same-sex couples?
There's nothing that anybody does that bothers me or affects me. Whatever whatever makes somebody happy. I had a best friend that years ago told me, sit down, because I asked her if she met anybody special, and she says, sit down, you might want to cancel me off your Christmas card list. And then she told me that she had met Quanah, the love of her life. They had a holy union, blah, blah. And I'm like, and why would that affect me? I sent her a Christmas card in July. Now, why would I cancel you off? If she makes you happy, then love her, marry her, and be with her.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all, and I don't see what the problem is and what MAGA's and Republicans' problem is with it.
I think they have a fear of their children being taught something that they don't agree with. But what they don't understand is they're not teaching it so that they can teach them to be that. They're teaching it so that children who are that way understand, you know, what's going on and have some place to learn about themselves. And also so that the kids that they go to school with have some compassion and empathy and don't bully them. That's literally it. They're just trying to teach them to be decent human beings and to not pick on your fellow schoolmates, no matter what the reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about acceptance.
And these people
tolerance.
Just can't handle it. It's like they're so hell bent on controlling somebody else, they just can't even handle it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about tolerance and acceptance.
Religion.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, they'll often bring in religion and try to pull it under that. You know, like there's one. Well, that's another intolerance for any other religions when they do that. And frankly, a lot of the people, they could be evangelicals, not everybody. I'd never say that. Trump is the one that says everybody, nobody, the greatest, the less, whatever. But a lot of those people bring in religion and say God doesn't want that. So it's not me that's against it, it's God. They're speaking for God.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. And we have to keep in mind, though, that Republicans who fight against things, like Mark Foles, who was a congressman from Florida, Senator from Idaho, the toe-tapping fool that was at the airport, and an undercover cop, Cotton.
Oh, right.
You know, there's a lot of examples of them being anti, voting against anti, you know, being anti-gay and voting against the rights for LGBTQ people, but yet still
and
behind closed doors they're doing it. And you know, even Lori Loomer was saying in her tweet, in her tweet war with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she brought Lindsey Graham in it and called him out and said, "Hey, Lindsey, when are you coming out of the closet?" You know, I mean, that would put Lindsey Graham's re-election in jeopardy. I mean, it's so sad that it comes to a point where you can't be who you are because, you know, if, you know, people find out in certain states who you are, then you're ostracized. Like, oh, okay, you're a closet gay, you know, allegedly, you know, that, you know, you can't have a political career, you can't have a life, you know, some semblance of order because people are judging you. And that's wrong. This is not what America is about. America is about freedom of choice, freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from religion. So, you know, what Lori Loomer did, she's a loony, you know, that was just wrong, you know. And Lindsey Graham has no testicular fortitude. You know, one minute he's like anti-Trump. When January 6th happens, like, okay, I'm off the boat. That's it for me. And then the following week, he's praising Trump again. Which is it, Lindsey Graham? What happened to you? You're such a good, you know, upstanding person, but now you're a little bitch for Donald Trump. What happened? You know?
They all
simps
for him. They all turn into simps for him. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, the men that follow him are such not alpha men. They're the most non-alpha men. The ones that have to go around and act tough aren't tough. The ones that have to go around and bang their chest, they're not the ones you got to worry about. It's the quiet ones.
Yeah. And you notice on how after the debate between Kamala Harris and Trump, Trump is avoiding her like how he did the draft. That's how scared of Kamala Harris Donald Trump is. And he says there will be no more debate.
Did you see him at the 9/11 thing the next morning? Like, the way he was looking at her, I almost think he liked the way she spanked his ass.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I wonder, too, if she peed on him, because I hear Donald Trump is into that, women pissing on him. Yeah, so,
I know. I think he enjoyed being spanked by her.
I mean, to each his and her own, without judging the show, but hey, do you know, you get what I'm saying? You know, he paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to spank him with a magazine with Ivanka Trump's face on it. So, you know, and speaking of Stormy Daniels, you know, thanks for taking one for the team, you know, because, God, could you, as women, picture having sex with Donald Trump?
Oh, God.
That's nauseating.
Like, you couldn't pay me enough, dude. Like, you could not pay me enough to even, like, stand next to him for a picture.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let that man cut my grass. Like, I wouldn't let him near my kids. He's the type of person that I would see in public and be like, stay the fuck away from that guy.
Yeah.
But we want him to be in front of our children
setting an example for the next generation? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right? Right? Yeah, he's fucking repulsive. He's disgusting.
He has
no business even being dog catcher, much less president.
He's just a vile, shitty person.
Right. And the thing about it, the ladies, is that every time a little kid is near to him, they cringe and cry and, like, you know, throw a tantrum because he's just creepy. Looking at him, he's just creepy. You know?
And it cracks me up that they... They go on about snowflakes. Like, they are the biggest snowflakes of all. All they fucking do is cry, these Trumpers. It's so pathetic. And Donald is the worst of them. Like, he's just the biggest poor meek crybaby. Like, come on, man. Grow up hair, dude. I thought you were such a tough man. Grow up hair.
Right.
Stop being such a little bitch.
And for the last point that Kamala Harris did, she oversaw the country's largest state department, the State Justice Department. When she was Attorney General of California, she oversaw that department, how it was run efficiently and correctly, you know, and things like that made her get prepared to be a U.S. Senator and also Vice President now. She's standing up for American families and protecting our rights, and as President, Kamala Harris will create economic opportunities for all Americans. And what to expect in a Kamala Harris administration? She stopped corporate price gouging to lower food and grocery costs. She would lower the cost of rent and home ownership, making it easier. She'd defend Social Security and Medicare, unlike Republicans who want to cut those programs permanently. Rick Scott, Senator in Florida, wants to sunset those programs. She wants to lower health care and prescription costs even more. So Kamala Harris grew up in a middle-class home. She was the daughter of a working mother, and she worked at a McDonald's while she got her degree. She's a graduate of Howard University. She went on to serve as a prosecutor, California Attorney General, U.S. Senator, and now Vice President. So where she has defended our freedoms and delivered for the American people, Vice President Harris is running for president to fight for us and to stop Donald Trump from taking away our rights and the MAGA Republican movement. You know, because the only reason Donald Trump is running is to stay out of prison. If, God forbid, he wins, then all those things that are against him will be thrown out, you know? And that's a travesty of justice. Why the two-tier justice system? If it was John Brown down the street, he'd be in prison awaiting trial for all those things he's been indicted over, you know? And awaiting sentence. But no, Donald Trump, he's running for president. So let's wait till after the election. You know, so hopefully he loses big, and so big he can't say, oh, you know, he was cheated out. No,
he'll
he wasn't cheated out
it.
In 2020. Yeah,
he'll never ever accept the loss. He can't.
No.
He's incapable of doing that, which is why you can tell he's got a mental illness. Like, he's absolutely a narcissistic, probably sociopath.
Yeah.
Maybe even a psychopath. I don't know. I don't think he's a psychopath because they usually don't have a fragile ego like he does. He has kind of a fragile ego.
Yeah, so he's a psychopath, not a sociopath. Maybe a little bit of both, you know? So Ben and Jerry's came out with an ice cream last week. It's called Kamala's Coconut Jubilee. I'm going to try it soon. I don't know if it's reached the local supermarkets here, but, you know, in things when Ben and Jerry's name an ice cream after you. It's called Kamala's Coconut Jubilee. Yeah.
I have to check that out. I like
David,
Ben and Jerry's.
I saw that as well. Apparently, that's not going to be available only on ice cream trucks that are going to certain cities. And it'll be given away to free to people there where Kamala is rallying. That was the story that when I read that article the other day about the ice cream, that was my impression from it. It's not going to be available to us, but I wish it were. But on a brighter note, just came across my smart news. Sean Combs, my daddy, was arrested in New York today.
Oh, really? Breaking news.
Yes.
Sean Feedy the Combs was arrested today in Miami. Good, good. Thank you for sharing that with us. Good, good, good. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Hold
on 1 second, because I have it now on my – he was arrested – with the no details are immediately available about the charges, but there's been a grand jury impaneled, and he's denying any wrongdoing. Are you kidding me?
Sean Peter the Combs, Bad Boys Entertainment. He's a rapper and record producer.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he's the one who allegedly raped Kathy Ventura, his then girlfriend. Hired sex workers, so you know he drugged her up, and these sex workers had sex with her. He had those freak off parties where you know what's it, R. Kelly and Jay-Z and Beyonce and whoever else came to these parties. The alcohol was laced with different things to like make people unable to fight back, and this is all allegedly. So I don't get sued here, you know. And you know, P. Diddy has been he took Justin Bieber under his wing for 2-3 days, and Justin Bieber was never the same since. It is alleged that P. Diddy drugged him and raped his ass as well, you know. So you know, justice will prevail, as you know, many accounts, many people coming forward now to say, P. Diddy did this to me. This one woman who was pursuing a music career, a rap career, for example, he drugged her and had his way with her, and the guys who were at that party had their way with her, and they filmed it. And, you know, she couldn't go in the music industry because people, you know, thought she was a whore and this and that. And no, she's one of the main people suing him for defamation of character, for rape, for what have you. You know, so let's go to the CNN report about, you know, the reporting that Sean P. Diddy Combs was arrested in a New York hotel. I'll come back and talk about it. One moment. Here it is.
Night, Sean Diddy Combs has been arrested in a Manhattan hotel this evening after a grand jury indicted the music mogul. His attorney tells CNN that he is currently being processed. The charges are unclear as of this moment. Joining us now is CNN's entertainment reporter Elizabeth Wagmeister, and also with us CNN chief legal correspondent Ellie Honig. Elizabeth, you were a big part of revealing some details about Diddy's conduct in private over the course of the last couple of months. That video led to a lot more scrutiny on what he has been accused of. What do we know at this point about what this case might ultimately be about?
Abby, at the moment, we don't know what the charges are. I have information that he was arrested tonight at a Manhattan hotel. He is currently being processed. I heard from his attorney. They are still maintaining his innocence. They said that in anticipation of these charges that Diddy relocated to New York last week. And here's a statement that I have from his attorney. He says, "We are disappointed with the decision to pursue what we believe is an unjust prosecution of Mr. Combs by the U.S. Attorney's Office." He goes on to say that he is an imperfect person, but is not criminal. Now, Abby, that video that you just spoke about was a few months ago when our team broke this disturbing video of Diddy violently assaulting his ex-girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, better known as the singer, her stage name, Cassie. Now, up until this point, when we broke this video, Diddy had denied the allegations against him. Cassie is one of 10 civil suits against Diddy, 9 of which he is accused directly of sexually assault. Up until that video, he denied everything. After that video came out, he changed his tone. He apologized for his conduct in that video. But I have to tell you, Abby, just as of last week, a former member of Danity Kane, which was one of the bands from Making the Band, Diddy's show that was on MTV, she sued him for sexual assault and other disturbing allegations, and he denied that. So he continues the denials, and he still maintains his innocence, even though he has been arrested tonight.
And Ellie, not a huge amount of information available tonight, but Elizabeth brought up something that I want you to give us a little bit of insight into. Diddy is here in New York, in Manhattan. He apparently came here in anticipation that something like this might happen. What should we understand about what that might mean? It could very well be that this is a federal arrest being processed here in New York.
So, Abby, there are some important things we do not know, including the specific charges that have been lodged against Sean Combs. But there are some really important things we do know. First of all, based on the attorney's statement, based on our reporting, this is a federal prosecution. It's not a state prosecution. The fact that he's being processed in Manhattan tells me that's the Southern District of New York. That's consistent with the reporting that the Southern District of New York had been handling this case. That's the office I used to work at. That's an office that sort of specializes in high-stakes cases. Just in the last year or so, Southern District of New York, just as an example, has successfully prosecuted Sam Bankman-Fried, Senator Robert Menendez. The other thing that we do know is a grand jury has indicted Sean Combs, meaning they found probable cause that he committed at least one federal crime. Now, as to what happens next, there will be, likely tomorrow or within the next couple of days, but usually in the SDNY, you try to do it the next day, there will be an arraignment, meaning Sean Combs will appear in court with his lawyers. There are no cameras in federal court. He will be advised of the charges against him, and he will almost certainly enter a not guilty plea. But the key thing to watch for is then we'll have the question of bail. Will prosecutors agree to let him out on bail? Will prosecutors ask the judge to lock him up pending trial? That could end up in a contentious argument. So these are things that are going to play out over the next 24 or 48 hours. And finally, Abby, with respect to the charges themselves, it's important to know, we've all seen that video, but assault and sexual assault are not federal crimes. Those are prosecuted in state court. So what I expect to see when we see this indictment is some sort of crime with some element of organization to it, sex trafficking, something along those lines, if it's based on some of the allegations we've heard.
And, of course, back in March, his homes in L.A. and in Miami were raided. All of this leading up to this moment. Elizabeth and Ellie, a lot more to this story will be coming up in the coming days and weeks.
Okay, so, yes. So P. Diddy, Sean Combs, has been arrested, and he's going to be arraigned either tomorrow or the following day. It takes 24 to 48 hours to do that. So now, we're here. Donald Trump is accused of the same thing, but yet still he goes around, you know, going on, you know, campaigning for president. And I bet you any money, I bet you every money that I have, that Sean Diddy Combs will be denied bail and he'll be in a jail awaiting trial. I bet you any money. Because the justice system is two-tiered. Not making any excuses for Sean Diddy Combs, because he's an asshole, just like Trump. You know, narcissistic, woman abuser, woman beater, rapist, allegedly. You know, what do you ladies think? Starting with our guest co-host, Blues Mama.
So, I think he needs to be punished if he's guilty. I think the justice system needs to work the way it should. I kind of wouldn't be surprised if, like, Trump doesn't somehow try to befriend him. So that he can say, look, they're after him just like me. You know?
Yeah. I have
would
a black
not
friend.
Put it past that man.
Yeah. Trump would use, I have a black friend, P. Diddy.
Or talk about giving him a pardon or something if he got convicted or something.
Yeah, Captain, what's your thoughts on it?
On what, Sean Combs? It's about
Sean
damn
Combs.
Time they caught up with him. Because he probably fled the country originally and was cocky enough to come back because they hadn't caught up with him yet.
Right.
But he deserves whatever he gets for the piece of shit that he was for years.
Yeah.
I mean, who was it, Justin Bieber? How many others?
Usher. The R&B singer Usher.
I forgot about Usher. And Justin Bieber went into a drug spiral mental breakdown because of it.
Mm-hmm.
He since straightened himself or got his life together, but all because of Diddy.
Yeah, and we all have to say allegedly, because that's where, you know, innocent until proven guilty, you know? And even though we know what Diddy is about, then, you know, justice system will work itself out. And, you know, he was in cahoots with R. Kelly, with Jay-Z, you know, with other people, you know, and he was even clapping cheeks with Mill Meeks. Somebody recorded it, you know. Mill Meeks is a popular rapper back in the 90s to 2000s. And, you know, he dated Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj came out with songs, you know, hinting that, you know, Meek Mill was, you know, going that way. I mean, as we said earlier in the show, if you want to be gay or if you are gay, just be gay, be yourself. You know, it's nobody's business. But when you're coming out there to hit out against gay people and gay lifestyle and LGBTQ to do everything to try to hurt them, that's when we come for you. You know, and Sean Diddy Combs should know better. You know, he was given this grand opportunity, you know, to have Bad Boy Records and, you know, give people a break in terms of music and, you know, being successful. But he took advantage of it. When what's his name? Tupac Shakur died, and then Notorious B.I.G. died. He took over the rights to Notorious B.I.G. because allegedly B.I.G. was going to leave and find his own music company, and it would be in the better economic interest of P. Diddy and Bad Boys Entertainment to have him out of the picture. And he saw Tupac as this big rival and this big threat to his organization, his empire, Bad Boys Entertainment. You know, so he just got rid of the competition, allegedly. You know, so, you know, as Cat Williams said, everything that's in dark will come to light in 2024. And it's happening, thank goodness. We had OJ trial. OJ should have gone to prison. I don't care what anybody say. He's a murderer. And hopefully he's burning in hell now, if there's a hell. What's his name? Robert Blake, who killed his wife, his estranged wife, in cold blood. And public side, he got off. So why is it you're a celebrity and you have tons of money, you can buy the best lawyers, and you just get off scot-free? If Joe Brown down the road did that, he'd be spending life in prison. You know, this torture justice system needs to stop. It's disgusting. It's not good.
Yep.
Sure is, because
and then on the Republican side, we can't even get them to step down when they're guilty of stuff.
Exactly. You know, I remember when David Vitter, U.S. Senator from Louisiana, he was with the Washington, D.C. Madame, and he used taxpayer dollars to get all sorts of massage and, you know, kinkiness gone. He used taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, unreal.
And then when he was caught, his wife was there beside him like a good, you know, stepford wife. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm going to go to the Lord for atonement and, you know, hoping people of Louisiana will forgive me and America forgive me. I'm only human. 2 weeks' time after the so-called going into, therapy, he came back. And you know what happened? Both men and women, I mean men on the Democratic side and Republican side, gave him a standing ovation, applauded him, and women on both sides were disgusted. Why are you not standing? You know? And compare that to Al Franken, though. Al Franken, it was a rehearsed skit. And this fool, I can't remember her name, so, oh, Al Franken, like, you know, was making me grab after my breast, and I felt offended. I felt violated. He didn't touch her breast, mind you.
Right.
She was pretending to be sleeping. And a Democrat came down on his ass and said, hey, you have to resign. You know, people like U.S. Senator from New York, who took over from Hillary Clinton, you know, was down on him. His co-senator in Minnesota, what's her name? Amy Klobuchar. You know, said, hey, you have to resign. He didn't touch this woman. It was her skit. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, my God, Democrats, grow some balls, man. Stand up to these Republicans.
Yep.
Stand up for what's right. You know, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yes,
and the thing
we're not willing to play hardball with these people. And this is not the kind of people you can let get away with that crap. Like, these are the kind of people you need to play hardball with these people, because they will absolutely do whatever it takes to get what they want.
Who was the Democratic woman in New York
it takes.
Told him to step down?
Oh, say that again?
The Democratic woman in New York, I don't know if she's a senator or representative, who pushed, she was a Democrat.
Oh, yes,
who pushed,
Kirsten Gillibrand. Her name is Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
I really didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
I thought he was. In the picture, they kept showing the picture. He wasn't even touching her. He's a comedian. I thought that was ridiculous. No, the picture.
Yeah. It was a rehearsed skit, but yet still, Kirsten Gillibrand and the senator for Amy Klobuchar and other Democrats came down on him saying, "Hey, you have to resign and making us look bad." But when George Santos. When George Santos did what he did, Republicans backed him all the way. They tried three times to get rid of him and expel him. The first three times didn't work. The fourth time, it was really looking bad, so they expelled him. Now he faces tons of charges. You know, Republicans, no matter what, stick together. But Democrats, oh, Lord, now throw them under the bus, you know?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Democrats, grow the hell up. Grow up here. It's sickening.
That was bad.
515-605-9802. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that guy you mentioned, Santos? Doesn't he remind you of the chronic liar from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. yep, exactly. Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah. He's a poster boy for lying. He makes Trump look like an angel. You know, I mean, far-fetched things that he said. You know, and people fell for it. That's why you have to do due diligence, people as voters, to research your candidate, what they stand for, who backing them financially, you know, what the background is. Because somebody like George Santos and somebody like Donald Trump don't, belong in federal office. They are the people who are bringing down the United States of America. You know, the world looking at us as a beacon of democracy, of hope, of everything good. We're not a perfect country. A democracy is like an idea. And we've been over 248 years now, we've been, doing this experiment. We're not a perfect union, but we're trying to. But Republicans, MAGA Republicans, the Tea Party Republicans, the fascist Republicans, because that's a fascist, reason being, former speaker from Ohio, John Boehner, said they're actually KKK members in serving as Congress people, and he didn't name names, but I'm sure there are. You know, this is what Republican Party has transmorphed into. You know, it's not no longer the party of Ike, no longer the party of Lincoln. Hell, it's not even the party of Nixon or Reagan anymore. That's how far right they've become. Genghis Khan would have been proud of them. Hitler would blush to see how far right they've turned. You know? Reagan and Ike probably, doing cartwheels in the grave to know what the Republican Party is today. You know, George W. Bush, the coward that he is, he won't endorse anybody in this race because he's just a coward. And when democracy is online, you can put partisan aside, like what Dick Cheney did, and say, here what, this man is a maniacal, egotistical, narcissistic fool who don't belong, not even in the White House, much less as a dog catcher. He should be in prison where he belongs. Dick Cheney, when Dick Cheney and MTG are the reason, given reason, then you have to stop and pause and say to yourself, wow, if these people with no moral compass can come out against what's happening now in the Republican Party and say democracy is at stake, then goddamn, we're doomed if Trump get back in power. You know? What kind of best of
I couldn't believe Cheney. that surprised me.
Yeah. I dropped out of mature, literally. I spit out my drink. I'm like, what? Cheney? endorsing Kamala.
I was really shocked. Like, wow.
You know, I'm like, wait, am I in the Twilight Zone? What the hell is happening? What the fuck is happening here?
I know.
You know?
Like, he's a Republican's Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember, the Bushes did not have that kind of rhetoric towards immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
They were not
mm-hmm.
speaking about immigrants that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Trump,
yeah.
He had the people singing, what, the Star Spangled Banner with the people in prison. Remember that one? Like they're the
mm-hmm.
patriots, and that he promised
mm-hmm.
he will pardon them if they get out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
hanging them to be ultra-patriots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here's the hard core truth, people. You don't have a problem with celebrities expressing political opinions. What you do have a problem with celebrities expressing opinions that don't match yours. This is what the MAGA is. So the MAGA would listen to Ted Nugent, Kid Rock, what's his name? Chachi from Happy Days. But yet still when Taylor Swift and George Clooney and whomever come out to support Kamala, they say, hey, stay in your lane, do your acting, do your singing, nobody cares. But morons like, you know, that like Chachi, who can't act to begin with, and Kid Rock, who's washed up, and Ted Nugent, who he's my husband. He never was Ted Nugent. Why would you listen to morons like them? Ted Nugent, you know, Ted Nugent married a 14-year-old child. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they're vile people. That's why they support
yeah.
him. And their fans, they don't know any better. They just don't
yeah.
care to learn. They really just don't
yeah.
care to learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
And they're fine. Mm-hmm. and they're fine when rich and famous agree with them. But, you know, they lose a shit when, you know, they don't align with your political thoughts. You know, say, oh,
yeah.
you know, George Clooney, you have no business in politics, stay in your lane. Get over yourselves, MAGA. You know, you're not the end-all and be-all. And come November 5th, we're going to bust your ass politically. And if you try
yeah.
to come with guns and try to intimidate us, we have our guns still. I'm not pushing violence, but, you know, facts is facts. You know, we're not
yeah.
going to be scared of you. We're not going to be intimidated. And Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
you're boring. You say the same stupid shit over and over again. You know? And I'm going to say what I said tonight,
anymore.
Like I said last night. I'll call Trump a cunt. Why? Because he lacks depth and he lacks warmth. And he is a piece of shit who should be in prison. And, you know, he's not going to be in general pop, you know, but I guess, you know, that's too bad because, you know, he'd be in this Hilton Hotel type prison for people, rich people like him.
Right.
So Bubba won't get his hands on him. But hopefully he'll suffer some way, somehow, for what he's done to this country, the reputation of this country. And like
yeah.
he did, and like, you know, Bill Cosby, and like O.J. Simpson, and like Blake, they're going to go down. He's going to go down. And Pete Buttigieg, I'm going to say something he did. He said, why do they stroke and elevate every kind of urban legend from 9/11 truthism to people eating cats? Simple. We're not talking about Trump's record of tax cuts for the rich, manufacturing job loss, and ending the right to choose. That's what Pete Buttigieg said in an interview, you know, on Brian Tyler Cohen.
Yep.
You know, we need to talk about issues.
Yeah.
We need to talk about what affects us. And, you know, not about, you know, Kamala Harris being an Indian or a black person. She's both. Get over yourself, Trump.
Exactly.
You know?
Stop letting them share the narrative.
I can't figure out she can be more than that. By the way, I just, when you talked about the ice cream for Kamala, I said,
yeah.
it seems like there was one for Bernie, and I looked back, and there was an ice cream made for Bernie by Ben and Jerry.
Yeah.
Called Bernie's Back.
And with Laura Loom, I guess Trump phone is Eva Braun and everything. So, yay, I wish them all the best. And, you know, hopefully this crazy person, Laura Loomy, piss on him. I guess, you know, I guess Trump love woman pissing on him. So, you know, if you're into that thing, hey, no judgment there. You know, so...
Well, he just grabs them and starts kissing them.
he doesn't ask. And you can do that if you're famous. You can grab him by the pussy even.
Yeah.
And then try to distribute it. Everybody, every man says that. Every man thinks that. To normalize himself. They're all that way.
Last note before we leave. Elon Musk tweeted recently that, fine, Taylor, you win. I'll give you a child and guard your cats with my life. So Travis Kelsey, her boyfriend, responded, I'm 6'5" and actually play football. The fact I went to college and got a degree and worked hard might be lost on you. I don't play backgammon or backgammon, but I do play chess. I could also twist you into a pretzel. That's his response to Elon Musk. Now, isn't it creepy as hell that somebody you don't know, you're saying, like, you know, you will give you a child, you know, give them a baby and guard your cats.
Yeah, that's a little disturbing.
It is.
He's autistic, so he's going to say weird shit. At least that's what I've heard. Allegedly, he's autistic.
Yeah.
I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, well, he just proved it by saying that. You know, and thank you, Kamala Harris, for murdering the elderly man on ABC in the debate. There's no way, no how, Donald Trump will be coming back. He's so scared of you that he won't have a third debate. And if he does have a third debate, you know, kill him some more, please, on behalf of the whole world, not just America. You know, and October 1st, reminding people that the vice presidential debate will be between Vance and Governor Walz. And Waz is going to murder him as well. I can't wait for that. But Blue's mama needs to do something.
The sad thing is the guys on the other side will really go away thinking that they're going to win. That's what happened with the last one. It was weird. Like,
you know what?
She won.
The thing is, my final word is this is more than a presidential election. It's a war between a traitor and his extremist right cult. And if we had 10 debates between Traitor Trump and Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris would win them all. It wouldn't matter to Trump's cult members. Traitor Trump once said that he could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any supporters. So let me update that. He could shoot a dozen people and he'd lose any supporters. These
like his real
cult
MAGA
members,
ones?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true with his real MAGA ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these brainwashed cult members treat a traitor, fraudster, and a sex abuser like he's God. He's not God. And come November 5th, he's going to get beaten soundly. Yep. I predict that the past 3 months now, he is going to lose against a black woman, against a woman, an Asian woman, a woman of color. It's going to kill him. You know, so Traitor Trump won't commit to answering the question, do you want Ukraine to win the war? You know? Then if he's president of the United States, he'll stop the aid to Ukraine. And God forbid, Russia takes over Ukraine. The next stop is Poland or either Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. He wants to build a Russian empire. So stay with Ukraine. Fight on behalf of Ukraine. You know, we'll support Ukraine 110%. We're not going to make people like Trump or his MAGA Republican cults come in and try to take over because Vladimir Putin is a dictator. Trump is a wannabe dictator. And we're not well
and
this
you know
this
what?
Country. America's better than that.
Didn't Kamala show us how easily manipulated he was?
Yeah.
And on national TV, she said two things that made him feel small, and he could not ignore them like a grown man. So imagine what happens when Xi Jinping or Putin or any of those strong men do that to him. I bet you can't do this. They will absolutely use reverse psychology like Putin did when he came out and said he supported Kamala, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And that's, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Exactly. Warren says, Laura Picker, get well soon. You know, you have a minute operation tomorrow. Hope you're feeling better. Before and after that little surgery and everything. And, you know, we'll thank the world of you and hope to see you back here Thursday when you're feeling better and what have you. And want to thank Kathy for calling in from Florida. I guess she had to go and everything. She gave us breaking news of P. Diddy being arrested in New York at a hotel, and he's been arraigned and charged for all sorts of indecent things, and he'll be put on trial. Within 24 to 48 hours, we'll know if he get bail or not. And it will show you the two-level tier, the two-tier justice system, where a black man who's filthy, rotten, disgustingly rich, he's worth $1 billion, P. Diddy, Donald Trump claims that he's rich. He inherited $400 million, but lost it 6 times, you know. And so he's a white man, but, you know, so he's running for president. So the justice system lets him run about and say, hey, you know, vote for me. You know, I'm a freak. You know, I'm crazy. I'm narcissistic. Vote for me. You know, they want to put a black woman in there, you know. Blacks are not over you. Yeah, that's basically
and
what
I can
Trump
do it.
Is doing. You know, yeah, and Laura Loomer saying that, you know, Kamala Harris will stink up the White House with curry. Yeah, Donald Trump hanging around with that garbage.
God.
Yeah, she's garbage. She is hot garbage.
Oh
yeah.
My God, I love
she's
curry.
Ugly hot garbage though. She's ugly. You know, I saw the before and after picture of her plastic surgery. Before, beautiful young woman. No. She looks like she belongs in a wax museum. That's how disturbing she looks.
She looks like that one Trump kid's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't she?
Yes, she does. She does. She does. Yes, man. Okay, so that's all the time we have for tonight. I want to thank Blues Mama for calling in and sitting in for Lori, who's not feeling well. She'll have a little minister soon. And I want to thank you for listening and sharing across social media. The website is kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to have merchandise up there soon. And we're going to have new articles coming out. Every month we'll have 2 to 3 articles coming out. Plus on the website we'll have the Kitchen Social. That's where you have recipes. And you can, you know, submit recipes to us. We'll put it up there, give you credit and what have you. Because we want America to come together. We want America, you know, to be the bastion of democracy where freedom reigns and not this thing that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans want where, you know, I can do as I say, but don't do as I do. This is not America. This is not who we are.
No.
This is not who we're going to be, you know. So,
no,
you know.
That's how bad parents raise kids.
Yes, yes. So, Blues Mama, thank you so much for coming in. And before we go, tell us about your TikTok so people can visit.
So yeah, you can find me. My username is Blues Mama on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go live tonight, but it was kind of like impromptu, so I wasn't sure how to set it up and I just didn't get it ready. But if you want to do this again next time, I can actually broadcast it on TikTok and they will be able to listen in. I kind of tested it to see how it works tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
maybe expand your audience, get some more people out there to
Right. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it was really nice. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
I really appreciate it. It was nice hearing from everybody, too.
Yes, man. All right, Doris, thank you so much for calling in. Kathy from Florida, thanks for calling in. And Elaine, sorry I didn't get to you and everything. I was just about to press a thing to get you on, but you hung up. So I guess Thursday night. Until then, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Block Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for September 16th, 2024. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Fire 2024. Thank you.
For our country, one that is focused on the future and the other that is focused on the past.
We're a failing nation, a nation that is dying. We're a nation that's in serious decline.
What I do offer is a new generation of leadership for our country, one who brings a sense of optimism about what we can do. We all have so much more in common than what separates us, and we can chart a new way forward. I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Thank you.